We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So Leah, we thought, was in her 40s, but we decided she's 132 because she used the Pony Express to send a letter. It was unbelievable. Sorry, that was your husband. I want you to stand for a moment. I gotta move this, okay? Greet one another. When you greet one another, here's your homework: share with one another your favorite scene out of a movie or TV show where they said goodbye. Go ahead, go make it happen. Make it happen. See? Right here. Go ahead, have a seat. Lyric is going to read the scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. Here you go.
Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed, but we pray to God that you may not do anything wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect, so that I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in using the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and in the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
Amen. Thank you. So, your favorite goodbye scenes. Anybody got one? Anyone sharing one? Which one? Casablanca. You want to show? Pete, stay with me. You want to show the Casablanca one? You got it? This one, you mean? You always have Paris, whatever that means. So Humphrey Bogart was leaving for all the right reasons, and it was still a very sad scene. Jill is still crying over it. Anybody else have one? What about this one by Johnny Carson? Let's do the Johnny Carson. Anybody remember seeing that? My favorite goodbye scene comes from the greatest movie of all time with James Earl Jones. Field of Dreams one, Pete.
You know?
Yeah.
Anybody else have another one? Sound of Music. Wait. Not Free Willy yet. Sound of Music. What's the goodbye scene in that? Well, go ahead and stand up and reenact it. Brian's like, please, Kim, don't reenact it. Please don't. Free Willy apparently has a very emotional, touching scene when the whale is running down the street. No? That's what you said this morning. The boy's running down the street while the whale is... What's the whale doing? Jumping, swimming. Anybody else have one? Yes. What now? Armageddon? Yeah, that was an emotional movie for me too. I cry every time Bruce Willis dies. It's just sad. I'm just like going crazy. But the greatest of all time goodbye scenes was the number one show of all time being watched in the history of America. It is when BJ refuses to say goodbye to Hawkeye, but still manages a goodbye. And here it is, the scene. So no matter how you say it, no matter how you spell it out, no matter what the reason it is for the leaving or the goodbye, let's just be honest, saying goodbye is never easy. It is hard. And I think one of the most brilliant things Charles Schulz ever wrote comes from Snoopy, Charlie Brown's dog, when Snoopy says these words. Why can't we get all the people together in the world that we really like and then just stay together? I guess that wouldn't work. Someone would leave. Someone always leaves. Then we would have to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. I know what I need. I need more hellos. That's how a lot of us feel. But if you've ever said goodbye to someone you love, you know that those last words you speak are the most important words. And it doesn't matter if you're saying goodbye for a long time or just a short period of time, they still are important words, because when you're saying goodbye to someone, you want them to understand what is most important to you. If you've ever sat with someone who is dying, the conversations that are taking place are not trivial conversations. They're conversations of depth and of meaning. When you talk about what is most important. I remember leaving Connor and then leaving Zach at college, even though it wasn't a goodbye. It was a moment where the words couldn't capture how I was really feeling. There was joy and there was sadness. And the conversations I had with both of them weren't about the Mets or about the weather. They were about their words of encouragement, words of love, words of affirmation, where I wanted both Connor and Zach to know how important they are to me. And I've said it to you before, if you ever want to know what's most important to a preacher, listen to the first sermon and the last sermon they give. Because that sums up everything that is of value to them. Because when we do goodbyes, we want people to know what is most important to us. And that's what happened in the scripture that Lyric was reading. It's Paul saying goodbye to one of his churches. And I think it was probably one of Paul's favorite churches because, well, the church in Corinth was at best dysfunctional. In fact, if you look up the word church dysfunction, you will see that church. They had arguments, they had splits, they had divisions, there was gossip, there was backstabbing, there was ugliness, there was meanness. But so when Paul would interact with this church, it was like a parent disciplining a child. It's why Paul wrote in the first letter that he wrote to the church, the 12th chapter, he talks about the body of Christ being one, and then he follows up with the love chapter. For Paul, this church needed him more than any other church. And when he wrote this letter, the 2 Corinthians, which is really the third letter that he wrote, he also knew it would be the last letter he wrote, and he was pretty sure he would never get back to visit them again. And so he wanted to leave them at the end of this letter, his last correspondence, with that which was most important to him. And so what he says in chapter 13, verse 5 is this. Do we have it, Pete? Examine yourself to see whether you are living the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? That's the test. For Paul, the most important thing he wanted the church in Corinth to know is that they were being tested. And the test was simple. One question, and one question only. Is Jesus in you? See, of all the things Paul wrote, of all the preaching that he did, of everything that was most important to him, what he wanted the people to know, there was one thing that was more important than anything else. Is Jesus in you? In other words, when people see you, do they get a glimpse of Jesus? That's the question. That's the test. And that's what was important to Paul. And I would love it if Paul was only writing to the church in Corinth, because it would make our life easy. But the reality is he's writing to us. And the test he wants us to undertake is that one. Is Jesus in you? What he means is real simple. In your relationships with family and friends, is the love and grace of Jesus in you? Yes or no? In your relationship with those people who you disagree with, those people who make your blood boil, is the patience of Jesus in you? In your relationship with people who are weaker than you, people who are in need, the least, the last, and the lost, is the compassion of Jesus in you? And for Paul, it wasn't just a yes or no answer. It wasn't true or false. It wasn't multiple choice, and it wasn't essay. It wasn't about the words. It wasn't about whether or not you could speak a good talk. And it was all about action. Were you living your life in such a way that when people got near you, when people saw you, when people watched you, did they see, did they get near, did they experience Jesus? That's the test. Now, I know Eddie and Jim, you don't want to hear about tests because you still got tests, Jim. You got Perkins to still finish, and there's going to be more tests coming up, and a credo and all that. You don't want to hear about tests. But he's not talking that test. He's not asking you, can you explain, articulate what you believe. He simply wants to know, is Jesus in you? And Eddie, it isn't a test about explaining the kingdom of God. to a bunch of clergy who don't really care, who don't understand it for themselves, right? It's not whether or not you have a realized eschatology or a future eschatology. It's not about that. It's when people see you, do they see Jesus? That's the test. That's what it's about. Do you live your life like Jesus? So then when he gets finished telling this this test, the thing that is most important, Paul then writes this incredible goodbye. It's on par with Free Willy or Armageddon or Casablanca. I guess we got to watch Armageddon again and get the goodbye scene. I missed it. Is that when the meteor blows up? Is that the part? Aren't you too young to be watching Armageddon? Did your mom cover your eyes when they were kissing? Leah, we need to have a little talk about what you let your parents. But listen to this goodbye. In fact, this is such a goodbye. When you read this, you have to understand the original language. In the original Greek, what Paul is doing is Paul is rooting, cheering for this church in Corinth to do things right. You know, he's not just a bystander. He is rooting him on. And what he's telling him is not only is he rooting for him to succeed, he's telling him that God is rooting for them to succeed. And then he talks about what success looks like. And this is, you know what I want you to do? Eddie, would you stand? Jim, would you stand? Because this is what's important to Paul. This is what he defines success as. He doesn't talk about church size. He doesn't talk about whether or not you get all the right answers. He never talks about your appointment, whether it's on Alaska or whether it's Sealy or whether it's First Church Houston. He says, what is success is this. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Farewell. Put things in order. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's what's important to him, is that you agree with one another, that you live in peace with one another, that when you greet one another, you greet them with a holy kiss, a holy embrace. Not that you're perfect, but that you're growing in love, moving on to this perfection that Wesley talked about. That's what this is about. That's the test. And in a few moments, we say goodbye to Jim and to Eddie. We say goodbye to pastors. We say goodbye to peers. We say goodbye to friends. But Jim and Eddie, what you need to know, when you leave this place, you don't go alone. You're part of us. And the words that Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. They're spoken to you because you're part of our hearts, and we go with you and we cheer you on and we support you in Sealy and in Onalaska. Onalaska, Texas, not Onalaska, Wisconsin. And so we send you off. We say goodbye. Even though we'd rather be like Snoopy and get all the people we really like to just stay around, we know someone has to leave. So we send you with God's speed, and with God's grace, and with God's love. And we ask you the test. Is Jesus in you? Because when you leave this place and you go to your appointment, to your next appointment and the appointment after that. That's all that matters. Is Jesus in you? And we have seen it. We have experienced it. We have tasted it. And if Paul asks us, is Jesus in you? We can say, amen, yes. What about us? I'm going to ask the rest of the church to stand with Jim and with Eddie. And Eddie is going to read as your outgoing pastor. And how will you answer?
For each of you, examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope that you will find out that we have not failed, but we pray to God that you may not do anything wrong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And all the saints will greet you.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. That's the question. In a moment, you're going to be invited to receive the Eucharist, some bread and some juice. Bread that we take and we eat and we remember when Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Juice, which we drink and we remember the words that Jesus said when he said, take and drink. For this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you, for many, so that all your sins may be forgiven. The Eucharist, which means a good gift. And we receive it freely. But there's an expectation with it. It's one that Paul would say, it's one I think Jesus would say, that when you receive the good gift, you are then called to be a good gift to those around you. And so the question is Jesus in you? Are you a good gift? I'm going to ask Eddie and Wanda and Jim and Elena to come forward. And I'm going to serve them as their, my last act as their pastor to them. And those who are also helping to serve, if you'll come forward and you guys come up here. And the way we do this is simple. There's just going to be two stations. We're not going to have ushers, or I mean, we might. I don't even know. But just come up whenever you're ready. And just feel free. And this will be the last act as a pastor that Eddie and Jim will serve you. So we invite you to come. The altar of the church is always open for prayer. If you have the desire to leave an offering, feel free to do so, knowing that all that will go to help those who are less fortunate than us. And so I hope you'll do that. But most importantly, before you come up, hear the test. Is Jesus in you? For that's what this is about.